Russell Rock Tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat Tuss, 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Welcome in, everybody, to Eyes Up Fantasy Football. We have a very special episode today with our Jets insider, the one and only Joe from Turn Up the Jets on IG. Please make sure to check his page. And, of course, with me, I have my co-host.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Dr. Mario. As my colleague Jorge mentioned earlier, we have a very special guest today, and we're very excited to hear all his insight and takes on the New York Jets. Make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button for his page, Turn Up the Jets.
And not to mention, it's your boy, the real Jorge. And, Joe, welcome into the show.
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you having me on. Excited to be here.
Yes, man. I cannot wait to dive into all these topics. We're going to have a very focused New York Jets insider special for you guys. And for the first topic that we're going to discuss about, Dr. Mario, please take the lead.
Be happy to take the reins, Jorge. First and foremost, Joe, welcome to our show. I love these crossover episodes. I think it's always great to hear the perspective from the other side and hear other people's takes on their teams. It's always great to engage with other football fans, you know, because we're all passionate about the same thing, football, at the end of the day. If you don't mind, Joe, I'm going to get right to it. I'm sure you've heard about the rumors of Jets replacing Bill Cowher. Do you have any thoughts or insights on that, perhaps? Anything you could share light to?
Yeah, for sure. So, obviously, Bill Cowher's a big name. I mean, he was that guy with the Steelers winning Super Bowls, and he's been retired since 2006, but Boomer Esiason, someone he's worked very closely with, Boomer Esiason also works closely with the Jets, has his own show in New York, and he kind of mentioned very vividly that Cowher believes that the Jets head coaching job going forward is the most intriguing, which is interesting because the Jets and intriguing usually don't go hand in hand together. Supposedly that it has to surround with Trevor Lawrence of why this is a intriguing job to Cowher. And now the rumors are coming out whether he might be interested in coming out of his 14-year retirement and coaching the Jets in the 2021 season, which obviously would be tremendous, but still have a lot of questions about it. I'll take it. I mean, Bill Cowher is a very well-respected guy. He is a Hall of Fame coach, so it's definitely interesting, and I think this would be a terrific option because he's a great leader, and that's kind of what I look at, you know, in terms of a head coach.
And for all you NFL fans who are unaware of who Bill Cowher is, he last head coached for the Pittsburgh Steelers before getting replaced by already Hall of Fame head coach Mike Tomlin back in 2016. And also, he had won a Super Bowl with the Steelers in Super Bowl XL with Jerome Bettis. If you guys remember, that was back in Detroit where Jerome Bettis won a Super Bowl where he grew up, man. It was a very, very special Super Bowl, not only for Jerome Bettis, but also the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for Bill Cowher, he's a defensive-minded head coach. And that's a question that I have for Joe right now. Why do you think it's a best case scenario to hire Bill Cowher when he's a defensive minded head coach? Don't you guys think that your emphasis should be on the offensive side so you could groom, sort of say, a future potential first round overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, into an elite superstar?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the offensive minded thing to me might be a little overhyped. When they went to hire Adam Gase, it was because he was an offensive-minded coach. We all know hand-in-hand what ended up happening with that. I don't even think he's an offensive mind to start with, but that's despite the fact. I think the Jets are just trying to look for the best leader, and I really think that might be the best road to go to. This is a dysfunctional team, a dysfunctional locker room. You could thank Adam Gase for that. And just a presence like Bill Cowher, we saw it with the Raiders, what they did with Gruden. And whether or not you think it's working, I think he definitely changed the culture over there just because his name is John Gruden. Players are attracted to that. Coaches are attracted to that. So if Bill Cowher did come, I think he'd be able to potentially land one of the best offensive coordinators, because who wouldn't want to coach for a Hall of Fame coach, a guy who's won a Super Bowl, a guy who's just really well respected in the league? So that's kind of how I look at it, because as soon as he steps in that locker room, everyone's instantly going to respect him, and he's just going to change that whole culture. So I think that's what a team like the Jets, who have been struggling for years, really need, rather than just overthink it and say you need an offensive-minded guy.
Great insight, Joe. I have a follow-up question to that statement, actually. We all know how these NFL rumors can be. They can be tricky. They can say one thing, and then by next year, it's something totally different or, you know, something out of left field. My question to you is, as a Jets fan, or better yet, the Jets fan base, is your heart totally set on Bill Cowherd, or is there perhaps a different candidate that you guys have in mind, or something, somebody else that perhaps comes to mind, somebody that you would like besides Cowherd, or is your heart totally 100% set on Bill coming back?
There's definitely some other guys I got on my list. I think Bill would be number one. If it happened, great, but I don't really expect it to happen. Guys like Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City is someone I really, really like. It's intriguing what he's done over there. He's an Andy Reid guy. What he's done with Mahomes, whether he developed him or not, he just has a really solid look on the offensive side. Another guy would be Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. He spent time over there in LSU last year with Joe Burrow, probably the best offensive team we've ever seen in college history. Now what he's doing with Teddy Bridgewater, and even won a game with P.J. Walker, is really intriguing, especially for a guy who's only 31. Those two guys are offensive minded. Probably an honorable mention to me is Brian Daboll, also the offensive coordinator for the Bills. Again, what he's done with Josh Allen is incredible. Someone who's really just criticized coming out of college, he'd never be able to be a consistent quarterback, but we've seen firsthand he's been tremendous. So those are some other guys I would really, really like, and they're probably more realistic. Cowherd's kind of that miracle, and if it happens, great. If not, there's still some other solid candidates.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Excellent candidates that you shared with us, because I do like the Kansas City coach from Andy Reid's family tree. We all know what type of Hall of Fame head coach Andy Reid is. So anybody from his family tree is an instant great hire as a head coach. But now that we talked about the future a little bit, let's stick with the present. And I want to bring up Adam Gase, because he is still your current head coach. And one question I have for you, Joe, is, will Adam Gase last the entire season as the head coach for the New York Jets? And what are your thoughts and insights of the job he has done throughout the last 2 years?
Sadly, I think he does finish the year. The Jets just really aren't known to fire their coach mid-year. They didn't do it with Mangini in 2008. They didn't do it with Rex Ryan in 14. They didn't do it with Todd Bowles in 18. It's just something they don't relatively do. And I think he is their best shot to go 0-16 and draft Trevor Lawrence. It's the only reason he's there. And then with Greg Williams being fired, he's definitely the next man on deck. So I do think he finishes it off, but right after week 17, when they play the Patriots, he's canned. Obviously, he's done a very poor job. And I go back to the leadership. He just has no leadership there. The locker room's a mess, very dysfunctional. There's really no relationships between him and the players. And he really has no relationship with anybody, it seems like, because he's just so into the offense, which he's failed miserably. So I don't know how he has failed, because he doesn't spend any other times with the defensive guys, the special team guys. And it kind of goes back to with Cowher. He's going to work with all those players. And even with a Bieniemy or Joe Brady, you just need someone who has a control over all those players. And I think creating relationships and being a player's coach is so key. And it just doesn't seem like any of these players like him. And it just seems like Adam Gase isn't a great guy. So it's very disappointing. He obviously wasn't my top candidate when they were hiring last year, but that's what we ended with. And hopefully after these four games, I never have to see him on my television again. So let's hope.
Great insight, Joe. Holy cow. I'm going to have to follow a bit of a difficult question here. Out of those candidates you mentioned, or those four past coaches, better yet, Eric Mangini, Todd Bowles, Rex Ryan, and Adam Gase, out of those four, which one was not your favorite, I guess, but the one that you did the most decent job, if you will?
I would have to go Rex Ryan, just because he did bring the Jets back-to-back AFC championships. The players loved him. He was a character, of course, and that's why he remains to be on TV today. So I would definitely say Rex Ryan. After, you know, those 2 years, he did have a bit of downfall, but he got them where they wanted to be, and that was in the playoffs, and nobody's done it since he did it. So I definitely have to go Rex.
Which loss hurt more to you, the loss of Le'Veon Bell or the loss of Jamal Adams as a Jets fan? Which one struck like a needle to your heart as a Jets fan?
That's tough. I mean, I would probably say Jamal Adams, but at the fact that when he got traded, I was already over him. just what a player he is. He's just such a great player. He's a franchise changing type of guy. But once I saw the return of what the Jets got for him, I was kind of over it immediately. You know, they got 2 first round picks, a 3rd round pick, and an additional player. So that is so much for safety. So at the end of the day, I was happy, but it just shouldn't have got to that point. That's why I was more upset with Adams, because I did think he was going to be a long time Jet. And of course it fell through and that wasn't the case.
I get that as a 49ers fan, it hurt me double. One, because my favorite safety in the football league right now is actually Jamal Adams after Cam Chancellor retired. It stung me also because as a 49ers fan, Jamal Adams got traded to the Seattle Seahawks. You know how we feel about Seattle Seahawks fan base, but it stung me twice because, you know, one of my favorite football players goes to the team that I'm just, you know, do not like at all. But at least you guys, as you said, you guys got a great haul for him, and it's interesting to see what you guys do with those picks in the upcoming future.
Excellent take, you guys. I like what I'm hearing, and I still want to stick with the present. And I just want to ask Joe, will the Jets finally get a win to end the season? Just one win? Let me let the fans know first who they're facing for the next 4 weeks. Starting with this week, they'll be facing, ironically, who we just mentioned, the Seattle Seahawks. Moving on forward to week 15, they'll be facing the LA Rams. And then week 16, the shock of the NFL this year, the Cleveland Browns. Wow, man. Talk about some Cleveland Brown football. And to finish off the season, they'll be facing the New England Patriots, who I actually think is going to be a very competitive game. Because if you're watching the Thursday Night Football on live TV right now, you all know that the Los Angeles Rams are kicking their butts.
I don't think they're going to get a win. Blew that chance last week when they decide to send the house 8 guys to the quarterback with 13 seconds left, and Henry Ruggs ends up snagging a 46-yard touchdown to end it. So that was their opportunity. They did play the Patriots tough in that Monday night game, and they blew it again. It almost seems like they're trying to lose at this point. So I do not think they're going to win any games, unfortunately. And it kills me to say that they're going to go 0-16, because when I went into the season, I try to be optimistic as possible with Sam Darnold, and that just wasn't the case. Now we're here at 0-12, and those are 4 good teams. 3 out of the 4 are going to be in the playoffs, and the Patriots still technically have a shot with some help. So it's going to be a tough road ahead for sure.
Definitely, man. What about you, Dr. Mario? Give us an insight as a NFL fan that's not rooting for the Jets the entire season. Do you believe the Jets could pull off a miracle win to end the season?
Gentlemen, this is the NFL, and you know that old saying, any given Sunday. Not to mention, we're in the year 2020, where virtually almost anything has happened thus far. I mean, we all saw what the Las Vegas Raiders did against the Jets in the last minute. By the way, that hurt me as well. I don't know what was happening. I was glad. I was actually jumping like a kid on Christmas morning when the defensive coordinator got fired the next morning, because what the heck was that? You know what I mean?
So bad.
But as a football fan, or as a Jets fan, are you hoping for the perfect season again, or are you hoping they at least finish with one win?
At first, I mean, to be honest, I really wanted that win last week just to feel good, right, I guess. You know, like,
no, I get it. Yeah.
It's nice to wake up the next morning. Hey, my team actually won. But in reality, the Jaguars aren't playing much better. If you're going to be stuck with misery in a lost season, 1-15, 0-16, you might as well have the season end up ironically working for you at the end when you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence, probably one of the best prospects we've seen in 20 years. So maybe he would kind of stop the bleeding and make this miserable season a little less miserable at the end of the day.
Do you see the win being possibly against one of the NFC teams or one of the AFC teams? Mind you, one of the NFC teams are Seattle Seahawks and the LA Rams, and the AFC teams are the Cleveland Browns and the New England Patriots.
I think their best bet is the AFC, even though Seattle's kind of been playing not well, but this is a game that they need to come back and bounce back and win to compete with the Rams in the division. And as we mentioned earlier, the Rams are playing really good football. So it's going to be really hard to go West Coast back-to-back weeks, like East Coast to West Coast. That's not an easy travel. And that's what the Raiders had to do last week. And they obviously struggled. I think it's a real thing that when teams have to travel West to East or East to West, it's difficult. So I would go with the AFC teams would be their only shot, because both of those NFC teams are playoff caliber teams. It's just going to be really tough.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Before we dive into the future again, I want to say one last question, and I want to ask Joe and also Dr. Mario, can you follow up after Joe, please? Is Sam Darnold done with the New York Jets, or should he be given another chance? Because as we talked earlier in the show, Adam Gase, they hired him because they thought he was an offensive-minded coach and they were going to elevate Sam Darnold's play. But unfortunately, he's been injured-riddled this season and his potential hasn't been seen much this year. Do you think Sam Darnold deserves a second chance for next year and the New York Jets?
The only reason why I say no is just really the structure of his contract. He's going to be in his fourth year of his deal, and there's too much uncertainty to give him that first round fifth year option, because even if you do decide to keep him another year and rebuild around him, you're still stuck paying him extra money. And it's really hard to pinpoint what he's worth because, like you mentioned, it's tough. He's been injury riddled and he's played inconsistently at times. Last year, he did end the season hot, which really gave some Jets fans some optimism with him going forward in the future. He is relatively young. He's only 23, but I think it's the end of Darnold. It's going to benefit him most because I think he could go and play for another team. Chicago Bears come to my mind. They need a quarterback. He has one more year, but you could probably trade maybe a third rounder. Maybe. I think he's worth maybe a third rounder. I've heard first or second, but no way. There's too much inconsistency there. I think you're lucky at best a third rounder, and I think the Jets should take that at the end of the day, especially if they have the first round pick. But I was a huge fan of Darnold coming in, so it's really unfortunate that it ended this way.
Don't be surprised if a lot of teams lowball for Sam Darnold and potentially offer a sixth, even seventh rounder, because I've seen it across the NFL year in and year out where a team just throws a random trade like, here, I'll give you this sixth rounder for Sam Darnold and a player, and instantly an NFL team would accept just because they want to get rid of that problem.
Teams know that the Jets want to get rid of him, and he only has that 1 year left. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone tries to lowball them, and at the end of the day, they're going to have to take whatever offer they get. Beggars can't be choosers at that point because he does have 1 year left. So might as well get something instead of just letting him walk the year after that.
Joe, your positive attitude has wowed me and won me over. I have to agree with Joe here on the point he said, where if I were the Jets, I would definitely trade him. From the outside looking in, I feel like the Jets fans as well as the Jets organization have seen enough of Sam Darnold. And for Sam Darnold himself, I feel like where you get drafted does a lot for your career, you know? Like, Mahomes is Mahomes, but I think if Mahomes would have been drafted to, say, I don't know, the Chicago Bears, would Mahomes still be Mahomes? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think maybe a change of scenery would do some good for Sam Darnold. Also, if you have a top pick, you have a rookie quarterback, a fresh up and coming, the face of college football staring at you, winking at you, why not draft him? Why not take a chance on him, you know? Plus, if it's a new coach, he might not like the fit of Sam Darnold, and he might want to draft his own quarterback as well, start a new system altogether. And as for trading Sam Darnold, I didn't even think about getting lowballed. Actually, I was going to agree with Joe. A solid third or fourth round pick would be nice for Sam Darnold. You know, the Broncos need a quarterback. Jacksonville Jaguars need a quarterback. A few teams need quarterbacks. And
almost half of the NFL needs a quarterback.
Yeah. And even if you don't get a pick back, Joe, you could maybe trade him for an offensive lineman, a veteran offensive lineman, which you guys desperately need help with the offensive line as well, you know, which could tremendously benefit you guys. Not to mention Trevor Lawrence. You don't want him to repeat Joe Burrow, which was playing phenomenal until that gruesome leg injury befallen, you know. Who knows if he'll be the same player then, and we don't want that for Trevor Lawrence. We want the best football from a player, because not only does that player get injured, but also us as fans, we potentially get robbed of the great football that we could witness in the future, you know.
Excellent point, Dr. Mario, which perfectly leads to my next question. For the Jets fan base, if you guys potentially lock in the number one overall draft pick in the 2021 NFL draft, who do you have your eyes on, Joe? And I want to know, who else would you back up potentially with all the draft picks you guys amounted with the Seattle Seahawks trades and throughout all the rounds? So let's start off with the number one overall pick. Who are you hoping to land, and what will you guys back it up with?
I think it has to be an easy one here with Trevor Lawrence. The Jets fans, the organization are just licking their chops at this point. He's 6'6". He's athletic. He's a great pocket passer. He's accurate. He's a good decision maker. I mean, I could just go on and things he does really well. And he's also, in my opinion, kind of like what Mario said, he's going to attract the future head coach of the New York Jets. And I think that is very key, because anybody is going to want to coach Trevor Lawrence. I mean, heck, Bill Cowher is considering a 14-year retirement to just come and coach this kid. So he's extremely special. Easy one for me. Most definitely has to be Trevor Lawrence. In the other positions, tackle, as we mentioned, is a really valuable position. The Jets did really well this year drafting Mekhi Becton. They just knocked it out of the park. He's a future top five, one of the few bright spots of this team. So I think if you pair up another tackle with him, I think it's going to be really key. And corner as well. So with corners, I'm kind of thinking of a guy named Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Also, Sean Wade from Ohio State. I'm not sure if he'll get there that far, but it depends what Seattle does in that with the playoffs and stuff like that. So if they do have an early exit, maybe you're looking at a 22nd, 23rd. And for the offensive tackle position, a guy I really like is Sam Cosmi. He's from Texas. He's one of the top prospects in terms of tackle. So if you compare Becton with another tackle and also get yourself a corner, you're really setting up Lawrence with success. You're giving him protection. And I kind of have the hope that they'll add some weapons on free agency and kind of almost go the defensive route like we saw with the Panthers this year, which has benefited them through the draft.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
By the way, a terrific insight on them. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Those two studs you mentioned, I always draft them in Madden with the upcoming draft class, and those guys always develop into studs, so it's a terrific insight there. My follow-up question would be, as a fan, do you sometimes wish or hope that the ownership of the Jets would or should change? Perhaps someone who knows what they're doing or actually has a keen interest in making that football team successful?
Yes, because we all know that the Jets organization, specifically the owners, love reaching for kickers in the first round.
Oh, I have to go there, man. Come on.
I wouldn't be surprised. Absolutely. I really I dislike the Johnson brothers, to say the least, with Woody and Christopher. Obviously, Christopher kind of took over and he showed his true colors. One, he was the guy who hired Adam Gase. So I would really be intrigued to see what this team could look like with different ownership, because it does start with ownership at the end of the day, and that really shows their struggles over the years. Obviously, these guys haven't put a good product on the field, and it's also unfortunate because they're in such a great big market in New York, and just to have these fans and the city just suffer with bad football teams is kind of disappointing. So absolutely, if they had the chance to change their ownership, I would approve in a heartbeat.
Where do you think Sam Darnold would be a great fit at, if not in New York Jets? Where do you see him perhaps blossoming or having some type of moderate success or being successful altogether?
I actually have a few teams. I mentioned Chicago. That would be a solid fit. Another fit is interesting would be Pittsburgh and actually having him sit behind Big Ben for a year, kind of learning the system. He's only 23, and I think a great coach like Mike Tomlin, a great system. They have tremendous receivers. He would thrive and succeed. And the other one kind of similar to that situation would be Indianapolis, another aging quarterback with Phillip Rivers. Frank Reich, clearly a quarterback whisperer. We saw him in Philly with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. And now we see him with the Indianapolis Colts with Brissett and now an aging, regressing Rivers. So I would love to see Indianapolis as well.
Great, great, great. Do you have any questions for us 49er faithful?
I want to ask you guys, are we sticking with Jimmy Garoppolo or are we moving on? Because it depends what the Niners get at the end of the day in terms of draft pick. But if you are in a spot that you could draft a quarterback, there's a lot of great prospects out there. Are you taking a quarterback or are you sticking with Jimmy?
I definitely think it's time to move on from Jimmy. He had his shot, his best shot, with the number one ranked defense last year and a really good, well put together offense in the Super Bowl. And the ball, the rock, was given to him on his side of the court, specifically in the fourth quarter when the Kansas City Chiefs were coming back from behind. And Jimmy just had to score one more touchdown, convert a couple more first downs to get that Super Bowl win. And it didn't happen. And he has, if not the number one, definitely the number two tight end in the league. With George Kittle, we could talk about the Saints game from last year. That guy is just incredible. So for Jimmy G not to excel this year, I know he's been injured, but the games that he has played, he hasn't been elite. And if you guys remember in the NFL top 100 list, he was highly ranked in that list. A lot of players thought he was a really good quarterback. And this season, he did not bring it. I'm very disappointed in his play. I know he has a winning culture. He comes from the New England Patriots. He's a very successful winning quarterback. But when the pressure's on, when he has to be that clutch guy, I don't see it. So I definitely feel like in the NFL draft coming up, the Niners, if we do not make the playoffs, which is becoming more of a reality as the season is coming to an end, they should draft a mobile quarterback. They should switch it up a little bit because that's where the NFL is going. That's where the future is going. Trey Lance from North Dakota State, I definitely believe the San Francisco 49ers should look into him, study his tape, scout him, and potentially even trade up to draft him because I don't know if he'll last into the later 15s and 20s of the first round. What about you, Dr. Mario?
James Richard Garoppolo is 29 years old. Next year, he will be 30 years old. I believe, gentlemen, he was drafted in 2014 by the New England Patriots. He sat behind Tom Brady for 3 years and was actually coached by Bill Belichick for those 3 years. That should have provided a solid background for him. We finally got him in 2017, and we sent him to a huge contract after just 5 games. Some people said it was too early. Most of us Niner faithful were excited for that big signing. I feel after the MCL tear and the high ankle sprain, which I feel like the 49er organization has been kind of vague on it. They're not giving too much shed or insight on it because I personally think they want to trade him away and they don't want to scare away potential suitors. That's why they're not shedding too much light on it. But I have to agree, it's time to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not too mobile. As Jorge mentioned, the league is headed in a new direction. It's changing before our very eyes, gentlemen. The big bands, the Tom Brady's, the Philip Rivers, the Peyton Mannings, you know, Eli Mannings, those pocket quarterbacks, they're studs. However, the league is headed in a new direction, evidently, with the Lamar Jacksons, the Russell Wilsons, the Patrick Mahomes. You know, mobility is a must nowadays, especially with athletes coming out of college being more and more athletic, not to mention coming off the edge, like, in a fast manner. So, yes, I agree. We should definitely draft quarterback prospect off of college. Now, who? I will not say. I feel like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan do great in drafting. They've only had 2 misfires, which is Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. They usually find studs even in the later rounds, 4th. George Kittle was a 5th-round pick. Who would have thought, you know? So
there's a lot of quarterbacks, Dr. Mario. The guy from BYU.
Zach Wilson, right? Yeah, I wouldn't mind having him as well. I mean, I wouldn't mind Trevor Lawrence either, but it looks like he's almost in New York. He's practically in New York right now, gentlemen, so it's about to leave.
There's also the guy from Alabama.
Yeah.
Mac Jones.
Yes, gentlemen, a lot of studs, but as I said, Shanahan and Lynch know what they're doing. I'm going to trust them. As for Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not going to develop anymore, gentlemen. He's not going to add anything more to his arsenal. Those 2 leg injuries, I think, will stun him and haunt him for the rest of his career. They for sure will slow him down a bit. Not to mention, he's going to be 30 next year. And once you reach 30 in the NFL, that's kind of like where you start regressing the age. So I would definitely have to agree it's time to move on for quarterback. Don't get it twisted, though. Thank you, Jimmy Garoppolo, for everything you've done. Appreciate you taking us to the Super Bowl a year ago. However, this is where we part ways, Jimmy.
Sticking with Jimmy, where do you see him going next year if the Niners do part ways? Because ironically, I think we could see him back with New England because I know Belichick is just absolutely in love with him. Is there any other teams you guys are thinking?
I was actually thinking the same thing. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back, quote unquote, home to New England and Bill Belichick. I think that would be great. The long-awaited reunion everyone's wanted to see, you know, but we never quite got to see because he got traded to San Francisco will be great. I also think maybe with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I feel like Big Ben style, sitting behind Big Ben, would suit him really well, like you mentioned with Sam Darnold. And being with Mike Tomlin, having all those offensive weapons and that offensive line would benefit Jimmy tremendously. And I feel like it's more suited for his play style, you know what I mean, or no? So I have to go with either Pittsburgh Steelers or even New England Patriots. Hell, even the Indianapolis Colts would help him out, you know? He could reunite there with DeForest Buckner.
Honestly, I'll throw a curveball at you, Joe, and I could even see him going further east and land with the Jets because, Lawrence, I know the Jets are excited to plug and play and start him right off the jump, but if we all know what happened to Mahomes, he studied tape under Alex Smith 1 year, and then on his sophomore campaign, he took the NFL by storm. So if Jimmy Garoppolo could fill in the shoes for the Jets after potentially trading Sam Darnold, maybe the Niners will reach for Sam Darnold, do a little vice versa trade. It could benefit both teams, especially if the Jets decide to potentially draft Lawrence.
Wow. I've heard rumors too with Darnold in San Francisco, and apparently the Shanahan regime really loves Darnold. I don't know how true that is, but that would be crazy. It's not a bad thought. I mean, not to rush a guy like Lawrence in work when they rush Darnold. So they should really treat him like that shiny object. He's their future. So do whatever that really benefits him.
One last question, Joe. Who's your favorite all-time Jets player?
Pretty easy. It's Curtis Martin for me. He's kind of the guy that really got me to be a fan. I just loved everything about him and just, you know, being such a great player. He's also really humble. So when I was a kid, I mean, I just looked up to someone like that. It's just a guy I really wanted to idolize even when I played sports, whether it was football or baseball. So Curtis Martin definitely was Hall of Fame running back, probably one of the best Jets of all time.
All right. Thank you, Joe, again for joining Ice Up Fantasy Podcast. And for all the listeners, please go follow and like Joe's page, Turn Up the Jets on Instagram. I'm so glad that we were able to collab, and look for us to collab with more people in the future, even with Joe. I would love to have Joe back. Thank you, Dr. Mario, again, my co-host. This is Ice Up Fantasy Football Podcast, and we're out.
Fantasy!